Well, I'm glad that John spoke about being free, because the Lord wants us to be free. We're living in a world where men are in chains of sin, maybe not outwardly, but in each heart there is that attraction that may keep us and may drag us down, and the Lord wants us to be free. As we were saying yesterday, God is God of light, and he saw that the light was good. And I want to emphasize that as God saw that the light was good and he wants to bring you into it, he wants you to be happy. And so we're going to have a little gospel meeting here for a few moments to tell about what is in the heart of God. It's a wonderful thing to think that a man here, just an earthen vessel, can speak about what is in the heart of God. Man doesn't even know who created the universe. The apostle said in Acts, you killed the prince, you killed the originator of life. Man doesn't even know who originated this universe. And he walked on this earth and he killed him. And yet, just a poor earthen vessel can stand up here and I can say confidently, I can turn to the word of God and tell you what is in the heart of God and what is in the heart of God towards you. So why don't we just have a word of prayer for a few minutes, and then we're going to turn to God's word in the gospel. Our blessed God and Father, how we do thank thee for thy heart of love. Where would we be if thou didst not love us? And we realize that thy delights were with the sons of men. We sit down at the table and we look at this abundance of food, and we look about in the beauty around us, and we see so many things, we experience so many things. And our consciences must tell us that thou didst love man and didst desire man's good and blessing. And yet, too, we're able to look around this world and see the world filled with sorrow and sadness, with violence and enmity, men hating each other. And we realize that sin has just turned them far from thee and from each other. And yet we thank thee that we can open thy word and speak of what is in thy heart of love, that thou dost desire the blessing of man. And that if the light should expose something, some awful, awful thing, horrible thing, that there is the blood of Christ that cleanses, that can cleanse everything that the light exposes. And so we just thank thee for the gospel. We thank that it's not from us, but it's to us, and that we can share it with one another. And so we pray for thy help as we would open thy word and speak for a few moments of the Lord Jesus and what he has done. We just ask thee thy help in our Savior's name. Amen. You know, nobody is here by accident. I mentioned that yesterday. And we're living in a generation of young people. You're going to go to school, and we're going to go to work, and we're living in a generation that, by and large, our brother said the shocking things in Christendom, even largely, unfortunately, parts of Christendom believe that we evolved from something. But you know, not only did we not produce by an accident, but there are no accidents in our lives that God knows. God knows why you are here right here today. And God knows what is in your heart, and he knows what is in mine. And I'd like to turn to a story in Scripture, a well-known story in Acts chapter 10 about a man. And there were no accidences. Acts chapter 10, just have about 7 or 8 minutes to speak about this man. We're not going to go through the whole story. But it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. You know, you may have a very common name. There are some unusual names. I once taught a class in the morning on the Indian Reserve, and there was a Jason Cornelius, there was a George Cornelius, there was a, I can't remember, but there was about 6 Corneliuses in the class. And then I came back to the city, and I had a class of Canadian Mennonites from Mexico, and there was a Cornelius Fair, and there was a Cornelius Froze, and there was a Cornelius Friesen, and there was a Cornelius Schmidt. And so I had Corneliuses all day long. But you know, and you may think that you're just a grain of sand in the sea, just a person in the crowd, a nobody, but to God you're a certain person. And you might share a name, have a last name, and there's 4 pages of them in the phone book. But to you, God is a very special person. And this Cornelius was a very special man. And you know, he was a decent man. And I want to say this, that decency doesn't save us, and decency didn't save this man. It says that his alms, he did much alms, that was towards people. He helped poor people. He was kind. God expects us to be kind. God has pity on the poor. And his prayers went up to God and God heard him. But he wasn't a saved man. But he was looking for the Lord. I hope that there's somebody in this room that doesn't know the Lord, that they have an anxious heart and they're looking for the Lord. Because if you're looking for the Lord, you'll find out that he's been looking for you. And maybe you'll come back and say, I wasn't looking for the Lord when I walked in this room, but I realized that God ordered circumstances that I should be there. Well, you can read this story, and I don't doubt that most in this room know this story, how God arranged and spoke to Peter to do what Peter did not want to do and took him to Cornelius' house because this man was searching and he needed to hear a message. And I trust that there's one here this afternoon. Perhaps it came a younger one like many of us did to meetings like this with an anxious heart, and we weren't saved, and we knew we weren't saved, and we knew we needed to be saved. And so I'm going to just read one verse here, and it says down here, he's talking about Peter, and he tells Cornelius, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now we're going to look at to see what Cornelius had to do to get saved. We're going to come down here, and we're going to just slip right down in the passage. And we're going to come to verse 33, and he said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, this is Cornelius, he is immediately obeying, because you know today is the day of salvation. Our brother Paul gave us a very solemn warning that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I don't think that young man who crashed into the meeting room in Rideau Ferry, I understand he was in a hurry to get home for curfew, that he was worried perhaps that he had to get home in time to get ready for school the next morning. I don't think that he thought he was going to be in eternity before curfew. It's a very solemn thing. And so this man, Cornelius, he acted immediately, and he sent for Peter, and he said, we are all here present. We are for... Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? I hope you're here not to hear what I have to say, but what God has to say. Now, I may be a poor mouthpiece for God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. We had that in the epistle, and I hope you're here listening to what God has to say. Maybe you've only worried about what your parents think and what other people think, what your friends at school think, but I hope this afternoon you're thinking about what God thinks. Well, they were present to hear that, and so Peter spoke, and he opened his mouth, and he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. There is no respecter of persons. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so he speaks to this man, and he talks, first of all, about what this man knew. He said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was preached throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God... Okay. So he tells them that he knew this, and you know, pretty well everybody knows that Jesus went about doing good, that he was a good man, and that he wasn't here for war, and he wasn't here to hurt people. He was here to be blessed. Ungodly janitor at work said, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, and so on. And he knows that Jesus didn't come to condemn people. People know that. And you know that Jesus came here to do men good. But you know that in and of itself won't save your soul. It'll only condemn you. Because we crucified, we were guilty for the crucifixion of the only good man on the face of this earth. And so Cornelius needed to know something that he didn't know, and that's the gospel in order to get saved. And we're going to read what the gospel is here. He says, him God raised up, the third day and showed openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after that he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he that is ordained of, was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick or the living and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that whosoever believeth on him shall receive the remission of sins. And so he told Cornelius something that Cornelius didn't know, that Jesus was not just a good man going about doing good, but that he hanged on a tree, and most people know that. You can go and see crucifixes in a lot of places, and people know that Jesus hanged on a tree, and maybe you know that. But do you realize that God raised him up the third day, and that he commanded his disciples to go out and say, if you believe on his name, you're going to receive the remission of sins? But there's something else, that he's the judge of the quick and the dead. That it says in the scripture that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I've been commanded by God to tell you something, that your knees are going to bow and own that Jesus Christ is Lord someday. There is not a set of knees that were ever came into this world or ever left this world that are not going to bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are not going to escape that. And he is going to judge the living and the dead. But is he going to judge you as one who stands guilty of their sins, or one who can say, my sins are gone, they're remitted? And so he commanded them to preach that whosoever believes on his name is going to have their sins remitted. Now remember, we started out by saying, what was Cornelius supposed to do? And we hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I do the best I can. I'm good to my neighbor. I do this. And Cornelius was just such a man. Zacchaeus was another man. He was a tax collector. He gave half of his goods to the poor. And if he made a mistake, he paid it back four times. Our brother here has a business. If he paid, and I'm sure he makes a mistake once in a while, but if he paid back everybody four times with the mistake, he couldn't make very many mistakes before he went bankrupt. But this man, Zacchaeus, did that, and this Cornelius was a good man, but it didn't save him. So what was Cornelius supposed to do in order to get saved? He just says, this is what Peter says, and it's the same of you too. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that whosoever believeth on him shall receive the remission of sins. And verse 44, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What did they do? What did they say? They didn't say anything. They didn't do anything. You know what they did? They believed. They believed. Have you ever believed that you're a guilty sinner before God and that you're going to have to stand before Jesus, the judge of the quick and the dead? Have you ever believed that? That he's going to call you into account for the things that you've done in your body in this earth? And what would you answer to that? Well, I did some good things and some bad things. No, sin cannot enter into the presence of God. But have you ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ personally, like this man Cornelius and those others listening? Have you ever trusted personally? Have you ever personally believed that Jesus died for my sins? Have you ever done that? Well, this man did, and immediately he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know how long he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Forever. For the Lord said, if I go away, I will come again. He came again in the person of the Holy Ghost. And he shall be in you and with you forever. And the Holy Ghost is going to be in Cornelius forever. And if you would just simply do what Cornelius did, I don't care if you're a little child of seven or even three or four, that you can enter into heaven through Christ the open door just by doing exactly what Cornelius did, was just believing. You don't hear about him saying a sinner's prayer. You don't hear about him talking to anybody, doing anything. He just did what he said. He believed. And that can be true of you today. But you know, it's a terrible thing to think that you would go out of this place, because as he said immediately that he sent for Peter, and there is an urgency with it. There is an urgency with it. God wants to bless your soul. But maybe you haven't understood much of what has been said about some of these things, but you know, the clock still goes around and it still goes on, and there is an end to everything. And so it's best to take care of this now, because God wants to, just like Cornelius, he wants you to fill you with the Holy Ghost that will be in you and with you forever to enjoy the heart of God and to know that God didn't come here to wag his finger at you and to smack you with a baseball bat, as somebody was saying, but he came here to bless you and he desires your good. He desires your good. I want to emphasize this. God saw the light that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God does not want to be a judge. And it's a terrible thing about sin, is that as a sinner, I make God be what he did not want to be. Imagine making God to be anything, but I make God a judge by my sin. If there was no sin, God would not have to judge. We put him in that position, speaking reverently. And God doesn't want to be that. He wants to bring you into the light. He wants to bless your soul. He wants you to have a happy life. And what a happy thing if somebody, whether young or old, this afternoon would simply bow their head and do that. I'm going to just tell a little story about a sister, because our brother spoke about, before I close, about sisters who are evangelists. You know, there was a sister in the meeting here in Scranton, and she's with the Lord. And when she went to work, she used to teach them a little hymn, "Christ is the Savior of Sinners, Christ is the Savior for me." Well, the Lord took that sister home. And about a year later, her daughter was walking through a shopping mall, and this man came up to her and said, "Do you remember me?" And she had some vague recollection of seeing him, and then she realized that, yes, this was a man that had worked with his mother. And he said, "You know, after your mother passed away, I tried to remember that hymn that your mother taught us, Christ is a Savior of Sinners, Christ is a Savior for me. And I was trying to remember to sing it one night, and I realized that I was a sinner, and that Christ was my Savior. And I got down by my bed, and I owned before Christ," he says, "I'm a sinner, and you're a Savior," and he got up with peace. And you know, you can walk out of here with peace too. You may have come in this room fooling your mother and your father, or fooling your friends. And you may think that the web of deception is so great that you can't untangle it, but you know, you can walk out of this room with peace tonight if you'd simply do what Cornelius did. We don't hear him uttering a single word or doing a single thing, but he simply believed the gospel. And there'll be blessing in your soul for time and for eternity if you simply do that. I think we all know that hymn well enough. Maybe we could just sing that chorus. "Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Christ is the Savior
of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me."
Again, as I say before we pray, that if you can't say that in truth, that Christ is a Savior for me, just quietly do what Cornelius did as we pray. Our blessed God and Father, we thank thee for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who revealed to us thy heart of love, that thou wast not against man, but thou wast for us. And thou didst send thy Son unbidden. He came, unwelcomed, he came. Unwanted, he died. We thank thee that he died on Calvary's cross for the sins of sinners like us. And we just pray, our blessed God and Father, if there's one in this room who could not say, "Christ is a Savior for me," that they may, in the quietness of this moment, do that right now. And so we pray, our blessed God and Father, for this, in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.